Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, June 29th, 2017. With me today, I have Kelly Gumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I am doing better than better.
Excellent. Ooh. So glad to hear it. And so glad all of our listeners are here today. And I just realized I never manually shut off the air conditioner, so there's a possibility that at some point we'll sound like we're in a wind tunnel. So I'll give everyone an apology in advance should that happen.
I'll pull out my paper airplanes and test them.
Excellent. Excellent.
All right.
So, hey, as long as we're here, we might as well like actually talk about stuff beyond the fact that I didn't remember to turn off an air conditioner. We might as well talk about the iPhone. It's the 10th anniversary of the iPhone launch, which is not the same as the introduction, because that happened 10 years ago in January. So it would
which
have been
might sound like why we are discussing it again, even though you might think that it had already happened.
Exactly. Yeah. So what happened was at Macworld Expo in 2007.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
So was I.
We were all there. Yes.
We were all there. I was sitting next to Dave Hamilton.
That's awesome. And I think
that's the Macworld I met Dave Hamilton in person.
Oh, that was a very memorable Macworld all the way around.
Yes.
Yeah. We're all sitting in the keynote auditorium at Macworld Expo in San Francisco, and Steve Jobs gets on stage and says, "It's an iPod, it's a phone, it's an internet communicator." And he says it a couple more times, and he goes, "Do you get it?" And we all freaked
and we did,
out.
And there was applause.
Yeah. It's a wonder people's eyes didn't bleed, because when everyone went, "Oh," it sucked, I'm pretty sure, all the air out of the room.
What I remember about that was I had a Motorola Rocker candy bar phone, the little black one. Mm-hmm. You may remember it from, I believe, the first season of Torchwood. And, oh my God, yes. That little tiny black phone that Gwen carried around, that was my phone. And what I remember is, because this was just as Twitter was just getting started. So I remember not being able to get to Twitter because I didn't have like internet on my phone. So I had a friend back in the offices at the company where I worked that was a Mac software company, and frantically texting them like the teeniest little updates, mm-hmm. you know, and then like getting messages back from them. You know, like I remember like whipping up my phone and going, "Apple made a phone. You guys, Apple made a phone. It's got this giant screen." Because at the time it was huge compared to like, you know, the inch square that I was trying to type these messages on.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I remember was using what was at the time current technology to tell everybody about the new technology. That's what stands out to me.
Yep.
What I enjoyed was being able to sit in a restaurant somewhere and pull out my phone and check on something on the internet. Even though Edge was terrible, I could still passively get on the internet and check things while I was out and about. And that was a revelation for me. I could be actually out of the house and on the internet, and that just lit me up.
Yeah. So what you did was you just jumped several months ahead, which would be today, 10 years ago.
Yes.
Which is a great segue to where we are, because that was a big game changing thing. So what happened was Apple announced the iPhone, and that in January, and then in June, it actually shipped.
Was so unheard of at the time. And if there had been more press writing about Apple, we would have heard about it for 6 months. You know, why are they doing this on so far in advance, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then the thing that I remember the most about when the phone was actually released is that it was $600.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then later we got a rebate.
Yeah, but it was only $100. So you still paid $500 for your phone. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it was the first time only option for a phone. Because at that point, we still had, you know, subsidies. And, you know, even still, like if you walk in, there's like the free phone
Remember option. How Steve Ballmer talked about that famous Steve Ballmer video where he just laughed and laughed? Mm-hmm. Says, nobody's going to buy an unsubsidized phone.
Yeah.
And he also laughed because there's no keyboard.
Didn't have a real hard keyboard. Yeah.
So on the no subsidized thing, okay, this is one of the things that just chafed me to no end. And it's that you paid full price for a phone, and then you paid for the phone again because you were paying subsidized phone rates for your contract.
Yes. And, you know, I remember, Jeff, having you on the Tuwa Talkcast many years ago, and we talked about how your contract doesn't change when your 2 years are up, mm-hmm. even though they tell you that the reason you're paying the price that you're paying is because part of what you're paying for is your phone. So you're paying for your phone over those 2 years, but when those 2 years are up, your contract is still for the exact same amount of money.
Right. So you continued to pay for a phone that you had already paid off. So that was like salt in the wound.
That was paid.
But the joy of having the phone overcame that for me. I didn't care because going back to Macworld with the initial presentation, Steve held the price to the very end. And I remember sitting there talking to Dave Hamilton, and as Steve revealed all the features, I was going, I don't care how much it costs. I don't care how much it costs. I will have one of these. And so when he announced the price, I went, oh, okay. You know, I can do
that. Clearly, you were not alone.
Clearly, because the lines outside the Apple stores were crazy.
Didn't you come down to Park Meadows with me for that? I kind of remember taking pictures of you when you came down for the phone. I'm not sure.
You took pictures of me, but I don't think it was at Park Meadows. Was Park Meadows even open yet? The Park Meadows Apple store?
Yeah, Park Meadows opened in 1998.
Okay. It all blends together after a while. So was it?
I thought you were there for the.
Maybe I was. I thought that I was at the Flatiron Crossing store for that. But it could have been Aspen Grove or Park Meadows. But yeah, I remember at least one of the openings. You were taking photos of me.
So I want to point out also,
as I can do, because one of the things that upset me greatly was both my Motorola Razr flip phone was you had to download an app, which was kind of quirky and buggy. And then you had to plug your Razr into the Mac, and then you had to run this app, which was obnoxious in its user interface. Mm-hmm. And then you could passively get your fit pictures out of the Razr. And it was a nightmare. And when the phone came out and you could just, you know, get your pictures out of the phone so easily. It was a revelation.
It was amazing. So, John, you said that that the big thing for you, the big game changer for you, was that you could pull your phone out of your pocket wherever you were and check your email.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, what was the big game changer for you?
Well, so here's the thing is that I already had the internet in my pocket. Because I had a Palm 5X, the VX, 5X, whatever it was called, and the OmniSky modem.
Oh, wow. I forgot about those. Yep.
So I had one of those. And so I had this capability already. But my phone, like, it was still hard. And remember that at this point, it's only even, like, almost accessing a web page on a screen that's not the you know, an iPhone size screen. And the thing to me that was the game changer, I didn't get one until the 3G. So first of all, like I had a contract issue, and so I wasn't going to be eligible for a long time anyway. So I just held out for the iPhone 3G. That was my first iPhone.
That was a good place to jump in.
I thought so. It was really hard to hold out, I have to tell you, because the default ringtone on my phone from the minute we knew what the ringtone was going to be was the default iPhone ringtone.
Marimba?
Yeah. Because Marimba, nobody had Marimba in at that point. So you didn't hear it anywhere near as often as you do now.
But that's Marimba's passé now. Nobody uses it anymore.
Yeah. I know. I've campaigned for years that phones should ship with no ringtone at all. And then you should have to pick one. Because then at least you have to choose. So the thing that sort of struck me at the time was people talking about two things about the iPhone. So sit for a minute and think about the smartphone that you have now, whether it's, you know, a 5 or a 6 or a 7 or a plus of one of those models. People talked about the original iPhone and it was immediately dismissed. Once people got a good look at it, they went, no one will ever use a phone that big.
No one ever use a phone with a virtual keyboard.
Yep. No one will. And that was the other thing was no one. Why would you have a phone that big that doesn't have a physical keyboard?
And is
and I remember a lot of people
AT&T.
Yeah. And a lot of people stuck to Android or made an Android decision once Android, you know, once there was an Android choice or an iPhone choice, because it wasn't iOS yet. It was phone OS. Once people had that decision to make, a lot of people just went, I have a BlackBerry, because at that point, like, we lived in a very different world in 2007, kids. Gather around. Let me tell you a story.
Yeah, the tales of BlackBerries and Treos.
BlackBerry was the undisputed, if you carry a phone for business, it is a BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know people who used the word BlackBerry interchangeably with work phone.
A verb. You know?
Yeah, it was like it's like how people use Coke. Do you want a Coke? What do you have? I have Dr. Pepper and Squirt and Mr. Pibb. You know, yeah, I'll have a Squirt. You know, like, it was that sort of thing. Like, what BlackBerry do you carry? It's an Android something something. Oh, okay. You know, because everybody knew BlackBerry meant work phone. 2007 is also when we got Windows Vista. It was that same Macworld was the debut of the Apple TV, I believe, 2007.
It's so funny because all I remember from the keynote is the iPhone.
Well, that's all anybody remembers now. Yeah, it was the one that looks, it was the Apple TV that looks like a mini.
Oh, yeah, the white one.
Yeah, with silver, the white silver, top and the whole thing.
Silver, yeah, gray.
I had one of those.
Yeah. Also in 2007, we got the iPod Touch came to town. In 2006, we got the MacBook Pro for the first time. There wasn't one before that.
Oh, it was a PowerBook and, before that.
Yeah, because then we got the MacBook Pro. And 2006 is when everything went to Intel chips. So people were still fighting with the PowerPC Intel transition when we got the iPhone. Like, you know, for people who don't even remember that transition, that's how long ago it was. So I think there's something to be said for some of that, you know, and thinking about what that was like. And I really do remember people saying, no one will carry around a phone that big, which is always what I hear in the back of my head is all of those arguments. When people talk about how the iPhone 5, for example, they went, what is Apple thinking? That screen is just not big enough. You know, yeah.
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
Let me play my, so we were talking about ringtones.
Yeah.
Let me play mine.
Okay.
Of course.
That's the Star Trek Next Generation doorbell.
Okay. I have to laugh because that's my text tone.
That's awesome.
And so, because it's really brief, but I can hear it no matter where my phone is. So that's my text tone. And then I have a special one. I have special ones set up for like different people. Like Jeff's is the Lego robots from the Lego movie.
Everything is awesome.
Yeah, that's the one for Jeff. And Mr. Kelly has his own. And like my parents, I have one assigned for my parents. But for the most part, if somebody sends me a text message, it's the noise that you just played.
Cool. I didn't know that. I'm glad I found that out. That's
and my awesome. My ringtone is the TARDIS noise. You know, warp, warp.
Of course it is. My ringtone, which I ended up building myself. I bought the Futurama theme and then converted it into a ringtone.
Ah, yes. Yes, I did that. Mr. Kelly has a ringtone that is the song of that they play when you ride the teacups at Disneyland.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, the Unbirthday song. I built that ringtone for him.
Very merry unbirthday for you. And that one?
Yep. Yeah, so there's the version that they play at Disneyland, and I was able to obtain that version and turn that into a ringtone so that he could have that for his phone. And like, that's another thing that the iPhone brought us, was like, you can pick ringtones and text tones. And, you know, I'm a person that super customizes everything because I want to know whether or not that's an alert I need to be paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have a really fantastic app if it won't let me customize the sound and I kept it on my phone. So I'm that person because I will listen to it and go, that's Jeff texting me. Or I will go, that's my husband or one of my parents, or that's just a generic text message. I don't know. You know, that could be any one of a number of people. So that one can wait, you know, things like that. And I find that so useful. And one of the things that I think the big thing for me when I got an iPhone, even though it was the next summer, one of the things that I was so excited about was not having to carry two devices, because that was the first time, or three or four or eight, because that was the first time you could combine any combination of the tech that I normally carried, because the tech was good enough at both of them. Because before that, remember, we had a phone that would play music, but it wasn't a great phone and it didn't do a great job of playing music. So it was much better to carry around your Nomad or your iPod, or, you know, because we already had the iPod at that point. We got the iPod Classic, I think, in 2007, the silver fronted one that came at 160 gigabytes.
Yeah.
Those are the things that I think about is, like, this was actually a phone that did a decent job of playing music and being a phone, you know, even though it was on AT&T, even though it was on AT&T, it was still a good phone.
Music thing kind of really hit me too.
Yeah. Cause I could carry my iPod with me at that point optionally.
Yeah. The music thing wasn't a big thing for me until much later. But when I got into the iPhone, which is at the beginning, I went from having to carry my PowerBook with me everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also carrying my iPod, which I was still rocking the one that had the four buttons across the top of the click wheel.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
And I still have that. I still have my
iPod. I have the iPod Video. I still have it and I love it. Yeah. And I used it literally yesterday.
Is that the original battery you're running on, or you had to replace the battery?
I've replaced my battery.
Mine is original battery. My current fun side project is, can I replace the innards with an SSD, which would be so much faster?
Well, you had an iPod. Yes, it's like the second generation with the one that came right out right after, I think, the one that Jeff mentioned with the four buttons across the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we got that in around like 2002.
Uh-huh.
And the battery just died early this year.
And you can replace it.
I can, but we're not going to bother to. We just put it in the museum.
Oh.
But she has an iPhone 6.
Well, yeah. See, I still use mine constantly because I love having a dedicated device that I can just plug in and put in the jockey box and, you know, hit the road and I don't have to worry about music. I love that. For me, the thing that was the big difference was, first of all, I could make carrying my iPod around an option. But second of all, I didn't have to carry my Palm anymore, because at that point I had upgraded to the Tungsten T2 with the slide down area that could be the keyboard that had the silkscreen area for graffiti, but it wasn't silkscreened on. It was digital. So you could make that disappear, because I used to read constantly on those little screens. Like, I read all the Harry Potter books, which at that point there were only four of them. I read all four Harry Potter books multiple times on a Palm VX. And so I got the new Palm with the bigger screen and everything. And I didn't have to carry that around anymore, because it had everybody's name and phone number, but also their address and their birthday. And, you know, I had my calendar in there, and it was easier to manage on that device. And this was still in an era of mobile technology where the Palm did a way better job of handling those contacts and stuff than any phone, because I didn't have a BlackBerry. I wasn't a person who rated a work phone, you know, at my job. So I didn't have to carry one. So I didn't have that opportunity. And the thing I have to say, the fundamental change at my house in this was the whole week before the iPhone 3G came out. I'll be fast, John, so you don't forget what you were going to say. Mr. Kelly would come out and sit on the couch and look at me and wait. And I'd go, "What?" And he would go, "I have a Windows computer. If I buy this phone, can I sync it with my stuff?" And I said, "Yes, it will sync your mail. It will sync with your mail and stuff through Outlook, and it will sync your contacts through Outlook. You'll use iTunes just like I do, and it will all sync. You just are syncing to different stuff than I am." Okay.
Well, that thinking stuff reminded me that another revelation for me was having a calendar in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And whenever I would go to an appointment somewhere where they were ready to hand me an appointment card at the end, I'd say, uh-huh. No, I'm entering it into my phone. Now, in the early days, I had this syncing tool that I used before iCloud syncing came out.
Yep.
But I used it and I kept my calendars in sync. And that was so cool because I thought it was really geeky, nerdy when the girl was going to, when the secretary or the receptionist was going to hand me one of those cards and I'm go, nope, it's already in my phone.
DataViz, I think is probably what it was because that's what I used.
DataViz was one of them. Apple's own sync tool, which I forgot what they called it.
They called it sync.
It was just called sync. Yeah.
Well, there was an iSync for a while too.
iSync. Yeah. That's what I was thinking of. iSync. Yeah. Yep.
Calendar in your pocket.
Yeah. So Mr. Kelly came out every night for like a week and asked me questions before the 3G release. And I kept answering his questions and I didn't know which way he was leaning. And what I remember most about the iPhone overall at my house is I waited all day in line and I was like, there were like two people ahead of me in line to get my phone. And I called him and it was the last call I ever made on that stupid little rocker phone. And I called him up and I said, there's one person ahead of me in line. How many iPhones am I getting? And he went, and here's his exact answer. Two, I guess. Now, that's exactly how it sounded. It was so lukewarm. We went from that to 2 years later, because we skipped the 3GS and we went to the 4. And when the 4 was released and you could go online and order, I was awakened in the middle of the night because the office was on the other side of the wall from the bedroom. And he had set an alarm and gotten up in the middle of the night to go to AT&T's website. And what woke me up was him swearing at AT&T and yelling at them, why won't you let me give you money? And that's where we went in the span of the 2 years that he lived with his phone, because that first weekend his computer, he had a desktop and a laptop, and his desktop was in pieces because we were doing a bunch of upgrades on it, and the RAM in his laptop went bad, but we had Wi-Fi, and so on his phone he could still get email and reply to that email, and he could look things up in Safari. And on Sunday night he looked at me and he went, I don't have a computer anymore. And I said, yeah, actually you do. And I pointed at his phone and he said, that's what has been so crazy about this weekend is I have two computers and none of them are working. And I still was able to do all of the stuff that I needed to do on my computer on this. And I think that was the shift, because he is now a top to bottom Apple user, I would like to point out. I think that was what kicked the door in for him was that iPhone 3G and that weekend when he was forced onto it because he didn't have any other option.
That's what happened to my wife, too. She saw me doing all the things that I do with the phone. And there came a time when she said, okay, I'm done with my Motorola. I want an iPhone now, too.
and the
same story.
Yep. And the appropriate response is, okay, which size do you want?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or now, okay, what color? Hey, we're out of time, so we have to wrap it up. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved this walk down memory lane.
So did I. John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
And listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. If you have tales that you want to share with me about your first iPhone experiences, I would love to hear them. And I'm happy to share them with our other listeners on a future show, too. So let me know. You can hit me up on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me emails, observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments in the show notes. I'll check all those places to see what you guys have to say. Thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.